Well, good evening, everybody. It's another edition of the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Nice little crowd with us tonight, but nice day in Sault Ste. Marie. We're melting away our snow. We all kind of enjoy that at this point, although if you're trying to build a rink right now, it might be a concern. That's not a concern of mine, though, so I enjoyed today very much. Melt all that snow. Damon Witten's with us, and the Lakers get beat on the weekend a couple of games by Michigan Tech. I don't think we thought we were going to lose two to the Huskies, but they played pretty well. We played really well Saturday night, Damon. I think it was a great response after a rather lethargic effort on Friday. We lose 4-2 Friday, 2-1 on Saturday, and we deserved a better fate than to lose that game, I think, on Saturday night. That was a pretty good effort.
Well, I think lethargic is probably a kind way to put Friday night's effort. You know, I thought it was, I could use stronger language than lethargic for sure. I thought it was, not acceptable and disappointing. I thought we played soft and, not okay the way we played. Challenge our guys and really hard after the game Friday night and again Saturday morning when you watch the film back. We were not hard to play against, and that's not acceptable for the standards we have for our players and our program. And, that's really disappointing, and I think we've got to find some accountability within. This is a group that they're a great group, and they get along well. But part of being a great teammate and, having a good locker room, good culture is the ability to hold each other accountable and to get on each other and make sure guys are showing up with the right mindset on a daily basis. And that didn't happen certainly Friday night. And again, that's not acceptable. So, I like the changes we made. I thought some guys went in, did a good job and responded. And as you said, Saturday, you deserve better, but ultimately it doesn't matter. You don't get the win. Going back to Friday night again, we're chasing a game with a poor start and guys not being ready to play, which ultimately falls on myself and the coaching staff. We're trailing the game 2-0. So, you dig yourself a hole once again and you're trying to fight back and respond back out of there. We were able to do that a little bit. Triggered by Max's goal on a good zone exit where we finally were heavy for the first time. It was set up by a really good hit by Will Rydell, and he kind of had his way with a Michigan Tech player and sent a transition puck up to Yuki Miura, who got it to Max Humitz, and made it a 3-1 game. And so you have a little bit of chance. Nico got a goal a little bit later, but in the meantime, we'd given up just a really again, I want to be careful with my language here tonight, but the fourth goal was, soft, bad turnover, and just guys on the ice that you wouldn't think would give up a goal like that were on the ice. And so, if you make it 3-2, I think there were 6.5, 7 minutes left when Nico got his goal. There's a lot of hockey game left to respond and tie it up and get it, but we'd given up a soft fourth goal, a poor fourth goal in the meantime off a lazy soft turnover, and we gave ourselves no chance in that hockey game. So really disappointing, really frustrated with the effort individually, the tenacity we played with, the toughness we played with. We had a couple of guys that I thought responded a little bit later and provided a little bit of that. And then, as we said, Friday post game was not a happy locker room. And Friday morning, when we showed the lack of 50-50 battles, the lack of physical play, I thought we were a much different team Saturday night. And as you said, deserved a better fate, but we didn't earn it. We didn't get it done. Maybe part of that could be attributed to not putting in 60 minutes on Friday night and maybe wearing them down. And understanding that you have to come ready to play a full 60 minutes both on Friday, Saturday. But there's not much we would do different on Saturday than what we did beyond getting that different result. We didn't take advantage of an extended 5-on-3. So special teams, they get a goal off of one of our defensemen on their power play, and we can't get one in on our power play. So special teams have a big impact. We had one very undisciplined penalty, which was an area that when we grade our team out, we did not get disciplined because we had a stupid penalty after the whistle. It seems like when you're struggling, when you can't find success and you haven't figured out how to win hockey games, those little things like a selfish penalty come back to bite you right in the butt. And that happened a little bit there on Saturday night. But our grade A's were outstanding. Our face-offs were outstanding. a lot of really good things in the game. Again, the result's not there, and that's ultimately what matters. So it's a very frustrating weekend, a very tough weekend. And, you know, I think these things build. You know, teams learn how to win. We saw that early last year. Teams learn how to lose. And right now that's the mindset we're in and where we're going. And it's really important that as coaches, we change that mindset and fix that mindset, and probably even more so within that locker room, the right guys stand up and hold each other accountable and make sure we get out of this on Friday night here.
Yeah, on the Saturday night game, the Lakers outshot Michigan Tech 18-7 in the third period, 35-18 for the hockey game. You won the faceoff battle 27-19. Those are wide margins right there, and yet you get beat where it counts most, 2-1 on the scoreboard. Michigan Tech scored 1 of 4 power play chances. The Lakers were 0-for-3 with a power play, and you just touched on it a minute ago. Probably a big key was that second period. 2 full minutes with a 2-man advantage. We had 4 shots on goal, but, you know, we haven't really mentioned him yet, but I thought Matt Jurusik was probably the reason Michigan Tech won that game.
Yeah, certainly on Saturday. You know, I thought he was outstanding, and it was really heartbreaking. You know, Saturday nights, not necessarily the urgency to get through the whole game, but I watched about 2 periods back on Saturday night post game. You know, in the second period was the only kind of momentum Michigan Tech had at all in that game. We only gave up three grade A scoring chances in the second period. They were all in our penalty kill. We had to kill 4 penalties in the second period. So again, a little bit of a lack of discipline there, and that gave them a little bit of life and maybe kept them in and hanging around more and more. But Jurusik was unbelievable. And, you know, when I watched the third period back on Sunday, I just, you know, my kind of jaw was dropping. The chances we had, some of our best players in tight all alone, Brendan McKay, great scoring chance off the post. Brian Basilico, you know, Max Humitz was in a couple times. You know, Max had 6 grade A scoring chances, 4, and, you know, had a tremendous game. But it was one of those nights where the puck was not going to go for him and did not. And we continue to be snake bit a little bit that way and extremely frustrated.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, though. You threw out a different lineup on Saturday night. Didn't change that many in the way of personnel. I think you had Robert Bluger come in, and you moved Esposito Selivanov up on the left wing with Calder and Max Humitz, and moved Hampus to playing with Pete Violette and Yuki Miura. I thought they all responded really well. That was definitely the best game. You know, a lot of times this year, I haven't even really noticed Brian Basilico on the ice. He just isn't doing anything as a senior. That's real frustrating. I know it's frustrating for him as well as for the coaching staff and the fans, but I really noticed him on Saturday night. He was, whatever was going on there, either the speeches about playing harder or who you put him with, he played really well, I thought. And he wasn't alone. There were a lot of people who played really well Saturday night.
Yeah, and you know, some of those changes were caused with the loss of Louis Bedoyan to the lineup there, who obviously didn't finish the game Friday and was out Saturday. So caused some shifting and some movement. You know, part of that was Ashton Calder went back to center with that absence. And I, you know, you mentioned Nico Calder and Humitz were together. I thought that line was really good. We talked about Max having 6 grade A's. That line had an impact on that. Nico had the goal Friday night. So I thought for Nico, you know, a bit of a breakout party for him to come in and pack up 2 games together. He's been kind of working hard for an opportunity and a chance to get in. And, you know, that's kind of what you preach to guys. When your chance comes, you better take advantage of it. And I thought Nico did a really good job of that. Certainly with the goal, some of the offense he created with that line and individually, but even smaller plays, you know, Friday, he was one of our most physical presence, guy with the most physical presence, not a big guy, but he went in and separated guys from pucks, made plays, really good in the defensive zone wall. Tech has an aggressive decor that like to pin down and play downfield on you, and Nico did a really good job getting pucks out and pucks on heels, as we like to call it. And so I thought Nico responded really well. I thought the Erickson line with Viet and Miura was really good. A lot of speed, a lot of puck possession, like them. And then you mentioned Brian. I think Brian's, you know, has slowly built over the last couple games. You know, you said maybe a bit of a slow start early on, but I don't think it was just Saturday night. I think Brian over the last week or two has been playing better and better, and you know, maybe getting back to basics a little bit and being, you know, good at what he's good at. And so it was a good response from Brian. And we're going to need that. You know, we need some upperclassmen, some seniors, as we had last year and as we, we'll count on this year to have their best games and to start impacting a little bit more. They're the guys that have been through these battles and have the experience against teams like Michigan Tech and Bowling Green. I thought it was a really good response from Brian Basilico. I liked his game, his best game of the year, as you mentioned. But I think it's been coming. I don't think I'm quite as surprised surprised, because I think we've seen that in practice and the previous weekend that his play has been improving. And, you know, we're going to be on him to continue to keep playing better and better.
Yeah, he was a strong performer last year in the second half of the season. He totaled out with 5 goals. He has none so far this season. But, you know, I think he'll come around again. He was really good at the GLI last year. I remember he scored a goal, but he was just really effective as a player on the ice. And he has to play a certain way and with certain people to be really effective. I thought Merrick Mittens was really good on the weekend, too. We've been kind of tough on goaltending in recent games, but I don't think you could fault him on any of the 4 goals Friday night. They were deflected. They were perfect shots that hit right under the crossbar and right where the pipe is. Those are tough shots to stop, to even see. And I thought he was really good Saturday night, too, just as good as Jurusik. He just wasn't as busy.
Yeah, I thought Friday, like you said, maybe one of them, I think it was a 3rd goal, that maybe a little bit quicker read that he might have had a chance on. But 2 of their goals were pucks going way wide, and they got tipped, and so Merrick's had no chance. And I thought he was really good. I thought we were not good in front of him. We gave a lot of chances against Michigan Tech where guys were behind our D or our defensive forward down low, and they're in all alone. And I thought he played without standing hands and poise, and thought he did a really good job. Again, a breakdown on their 4th goal. We had a forward turnover, a puck. We had a D take a bad route, and then a D not heavy net front. But you know, if we don't give that one up, Nico makes it 3-2, and you know, we might have a chance to maybe get some points in a game that we didn't play very well in. But it's certainly no fault of Mitts. I thought he played extremely well. Again, maybe better Friday than Saturday, where he didn't have a lot of action. And once again, Saturday night, you know, we got today in practice, spent some time blocking shots. We have a puck hit us. Again, it's going wide, goes in the back of our net. It's a broken record. And so I guess maybe instead of lamenting it, we better get out and learn how to block shots better. Instead of letting them go in off of us and into our net, we better get in front and eat them and really gobble them up. So, that's part of our focus here, too, is not allowing anything to get to our net, because it's finding a way in right now, and it's extremely frustrating.
Yeah, you mentioned a few moments ago that Louis Bedone got hurt on Friday night. That's a really good freshman centerman for the Lakers. He's played very well for a young guy. And what's the situation with him? I guess we don't have to go into details with it, but how long do you expect he'll be out? And what's the situation with Jacob Nordquist at this point?
Yeah, both guys a little bit unknown still. I think there might be a chance they're ready to go this weekend. We won't know till really post-practice tomorrow. We'll have to make a quick decision, obviously, with a Thursday morning departure. So, those guys are continuing to recover and try to get back to full health. And, really, really not sure which way it'll go at this point.
What's the latest thing with Braden Gelsinger? Does it look like he may redshirt and come back and play next year, or is he going to try to play this season?
Great question. There's some stuff to work through in terms of a medical redshirt that is ongoing, but he's progressing really well. He's been on the ice now, coming off the surgery and the recovery to the injury, and so Braden's progress has been outstanding, and so I think he's cautiously optimistic that it's going a little bit ahead of schedule. And I think if it continues to move the way it is right now, then he'd probably prefer to look to get back, unless it's going to be some setbacks and take longer and longer. The longer it goes, the better chance it could be for looking at a red shirt and returning. But if he can get back sooner than later, then I think that'd be Braden's preference, and try to get back and contribute, help his team get going.
Yeah, he's a senior. He wants to help out, and he wants to graduate. He's going to have enough credit certainly to graduate come May, and he probably would like to move on, but the question now would be, on my part, what kind of shape is he going to be in physically? I mean, he can't do much. He can't even really ride an exercise bike, so it's going to take him weeks to get back into game conditioning.
Yeah, well, the good thing with Braden's body type is, he's a slender, thin kid, so it's not like he's going to put on a bunch of weight and slow down. He's an elite skater. I think in today's game, when you can dress an extra body, you could potentially see him dressing as a 13th forward and, spotting him in different spots as his game shape improves. But no question, it'll take some time. When you have a lower body injury like that, it's certainly going to affect your conditioning level and your return. But again, the good news is he's back on skates, moving forward with that. And there's a lot you can do now, whether it's pool work or upper body bike, things like that, to try to, stay on as best you can. And Braden's very dedicated that way. So I know he's doing all the right things with our athletic training staff and our strength conditioning coach. And again, I'm not overly concerned about that. If he was a different body type, that could be a little bit more of a challenge. But for Braden, I don't think that'll be a difficult return when he's cleared and when he's ready to go, or if he is as well.
All righty, we're going to take a break here. We're about quarter after the hour of six. You're listening to the Laker Hockey Show, and we'll be right back with more from the Antlers on East Portage on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back with our second segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night. And Damon, I know I don't have to tell you all this stuff, but it's kind of disappointing at this point. This is a team that's either sweeping somebody or getting swept. We've got a record right now of 4-8 in 12 games, and we've been swept five times, and we've swept twice. So let's hope this weekend at Bowling Green we can do no worse than a split and maybe get a sweep down there. Maybe we can shock them a little bit. They're going to be a tough customer, though. They're a very good team with a lot of talent and depth, and their goaltender, Eric Dopp, just won goaltender of the week honors for a couple of wins up in Anchorage. Maybe they're tired. They had to come back from Anchorage, but we want to get on them early Friday night and not play like we did this past Friday night.
I mean,
night.
We're sick of trailing and getting behind, you know, and so making sure we're prepared to play and good early on and getting a good start is really important. You know, that's going to be a big part of it. A very good team. I've had a chance to watch most of their Anchorage series and most of their Mankato series, and I thought the Mankato series was one of the best weekends of hockey I've seen as you're scouting and watching our own. You know, a very talented team. They play hard, they play fast, and they play heavy. You know, everything they do is coming at you. They're going to finish every check, and you know, you have to be prepared. And with that, your puck decisions, your puck management become really important. I think there are some opportunities to you know, go on offense and contribute offensively and generate a lot of good opportunities if you can handle their forecheck and the way their D are always coming down at you and wanting to get physical with your play. So you know, we're trying to prepare our team for that part of it. Obviously, our returners know the way they play and what type of series it's going to be. You know, it's a loud building down there, a good environment. You know, so I think it's going to be a really challenging weekend of hockey. You mentioned Dopp coming off a really strong weekend. He's been around a long time now and in behind Bednard there for a little bit and getting some minutes behind Bednard, so he's got some good experience. But this is a team that was picked to finish high in the WCHA, and they're nationally ranked, and you know, it's a tall challenge. And I think for us, again, you know, it's going to be that Saturday night mindset. You know, we're going to have to come be very physical, very hard to play against, and certainly, you know, continuing with a much better defensive game and, you know, keep this thing low scoring. But let's get a lead here. Let's play with the lead. We haven't had a chance to do that a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, we've got some questions from the fans who are with us here tonight at the Antlers. And one of them is right on the same wavelength, what we're talking about right now. Trying to get into special teams. Now, the Lakers are at 10.4% on the power play and 78.4% on the penalty kill. Neither one of those is very good and not where we want to be. You look at Bowling Green, they're at 20% on the power play, and they're not really great. They're 84.1% on the penalty kill. That's not spectacular, but it's pretty solid. And their rankings there on special teams are a heck of a lot better than ours. So, obviously, we want to stay out of the penalty box. And we want to somehow find a way to score some power play goals. What's been the big difficulty with this power play?
Well, probably if we knew the answer, we wouldn't have the big difficulty. You know, we talked a little bit about our approach. You know, to start the year has been a little bit different and a little bit more patient early on to get it going. And then it just seems to struggle. And it's, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, and I don't have it in front of me, but Max Humans has had a tremendous year. And almost all of that's 5-on-5. You would think once you get a guy like him and a lot of our other top scorers as well, that they generate more 5-on-4. So, you know, we're continuing to try to work with some pieces. Obviously, you know, some of the injuries that have gone on. Braden, we at least knew about early enough to adjust with, but then you go in, you lose Nordy for a couple of weeks, who's a pretty key on both of those situations. You know, Louis Bidon's been a real good power play guy for us. He might lead our team in power play points. So, you know, Friday night it happens. You lose him. He's on your 5-on-3. You don't get a chance to replicate or you know, practice anything or rep anything because it's Saturday morning and it's just kind of a video, a dynamic to get to game. So that was challenging, and that did not help in terms of some preparation there. You know, but I don't know. We're going to have to pull more special teams practices or put more time into it. You know, we like some of the personnel on it, but it just doesn't seem to be clicking and going. And I think when that's the case, you know, a lot of times you want to resort to just simplifying. You know, let's be simple with it. Get traffic to the net, get pucks to the net, and, you know, find a way to get some greasy ones. We certainly have been on the other side. You know, so many pucks have gone off our own defensemen and off chest and butts and things like that. And, you know, we'd like that to flip at some point, but we're going to have to go do it by generating a lot of pucks and chances at the net.
We got a question here from one of our fans about NLIs. I want to get into recruiting in a few moments, so we'll hang on to that one. Got one here that I find real interesting. Which team is the real Laker team, Fridays or Saturdays? That's a loaded question.
Yeah,
let's hope it's Saturday.
I think we've seen enough. You know, we've got the chance to be a good team. Now, we haven't been good enough as of late or consistently. We've talked about the schedule a little bit, and that certainly has a piece to do with that or a role in where we're at. But, you know, again, I think, you know, last year we got off to a good start. We learned to win. The confidence grew, and you know, it just rolled. And it's been the opposite this year. You know, we have not learned to win, and we're learning the wrong side of that. So somebody, you know, we've got to put a game plan in place and get the right personnel in place to get that changed around and have that start growing and start developing. But, you know, it's been frustrating. Like I said, I mean, we're watching the goals that go in and the way they're going in and, you know, just feeling like that anything that can go wrong essentially has gone wrong for the most part, including injuries. And, you know, typically those things balance out. So we're waiting for that to balance out. But you can't just sit and wait. You have to earn it. And, you know, we're trying to change a couple of things, our approach. I don't know, Bill, how much you know, structurally people watch and they're in tune, but you would have saw a different neutral zone forecheck we put in this past week. You know, we liked that. We thought that was pretty effective. And the good thing about that is now we have the ability to go between both. Obviously, just because we put a new one in, we don't forget the old one. So you will see our old neutral zone at times as well. And now, you know, at a media timeout in between periods, we can have the ability to switch between two pretty drastically different neutral zone forechecks, and that can help you out in games. But yeah, special teams is a big one. You know, we've got to have some guys emerge and find the right people. And we've talked a lot about it. You know, obviously, you know, we lost key guys: Diego, Nelly, Terrell, Ruggiero, all really key penalty kill guys. Those three forwards, all key power play guys. And I don't think we anticipated struggling as much as we did, as we have, to replace what we lost in those scenarios. But I do think that's, you know, a piece of it. We had four seniors that had played a lot of college hockey and really, you know, valued their roles and did a good job with their roles. And, you know, we've not replaced those guys yet with the proper people. So that's on me to find that personnel and to get it in the right place and to find the right system to make them successful.
You know, one of the guys who has been really effective on the power play this season has been a defenseman in Colin Sackleman. He's been really good up around the net. He's got six goals right now. Most of them have come on the power play. He's been really good in around that net, but he just couldn't seem to get hold of the puck on the weekend against Michigan Tech. And, you know, we haven't really talked about it, but I think Michigan Tech's defensive core is about as good as there is that I've seen so far in the WCHA. They're very quick. They're really good with sticks, and they defend well. They don't give you anything in around that net.
Yeah, with the numbers and the way they jump and activate it makes it challenging. There's not much time in the offensive zone, and you know, Coach Mason, at times we'd play a team like that and we'd just sit back and, you know, let them come out and try to attack in transition. We talked about that a little bit. It's so difficult to have possession because they jump three, four, five guys and, you know, they really just shut it down with the quickness and the outnumber situations. And I don't think we did a great job in particular on Friday night of making them defend in their own zone. Saturday, way better. You can spread them out with some good early puck movement and then break them down into man-on-man situations, which we were able to do on Saturday, but they, you know, give them credit. I thought they played really well that way and did a good job blocking shots and taking away the D zone. And, you know, Collins' power play goals, if you remember, two of them were real good setups from Louis Bidon. So again, a key guy that's out right now, but Louis's really good on that goal line and making plays, an elite passer, and Sacco does such a good job net front. But, you know, it might be time to shake that up, and you know, looking at BG, we'll have to come up with some plans to counter act what they do.
Yeah, they're going to be looking at video too. Probably be a good idea to change up the whole thing, because they're going to think they're going to get one thing and maybe we give them another thing. You never know what's going to happen. The WCHA is very competitive. It isn't going to get any easier. We've got Bemidji coming in here in 2 weeks, and then the Lakers go to Minnesota State. before they come back and play against Bowling Green at home. It's kind of strange how that schedule goes. You play Bemidji 2 weeks later, you got them at home. You're going to play Bowling Green, and then 2 weeks later, you got them here right before the Christmas break.
It is strange. I don't like it. It's weird. I don't know why it happened this way for whatever reason. It's just the way the schedule rolled out, and I'm sure we're not the only ones doing it. But I think in a perfect world, you feel like a little bit more balanced schedule if you have somebody first half, second half, and you're maybe seeing some different teams and different looks and whatever they're dealing with. But that's the way it worked out. But really loaded front half schedule. I mean, it's a real grind these last couple of weeks here. Still trying to get a feel or be aware of at least that we've not had a bye week. One of the only teams in the country that's played every weekend here. So we really want to be in tune with our players' recovery and where they're at physically and mentally. And that's something we're trying to, get a gauge on by spending time with them and getting where they're at. Certainly talking with our support staff and Pat Sarney, our athletic trainer, and Taylor Brown, our strength conditioning coach. And to me, that's a really important piece of this right now is we really got to watch how much we're putting on our players, because like you said, there's 4 weeks left here, and that'll be without a bye. So we really want to be aware and make sure our players are healthy and ready to play as well.
Okay, we're going to take a break. It's our second break on the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, Damon Witten at the Antlers on ESPN 1400. We've got some questions, I said, from the fans. One of them concerns our athletic trainer who has come on board and our strength and conditioning coach, as we like to call him, Taylor Brown. He's from Wisconsin. I think he's doing a pretty good job. We had a great one in Nate Williams, and now it seems like we've got another guy who's right there, very interested in what's going on. And I'm not sure all the guys like him. I hope they do. They certainly like Nate Williams, and that's an important position in hockey.
It is, and we had a challenge with the timing of it. Nate... had a chance with the Vancouver Canucks, and most guys, are not going to turn down opportunities to move on to the NHL. So he took a position with the Canucks to run their American League team as a head strength conditioning coach. So it was an awesome opportunity for Nate, and he was tremendous for us. Did a great job. But then we went without a guy for, a month and a half, 2 months, just as we're kicking off the season. So the timing was challenging and not ideal, but we're really excited to have Taylor. Taylor has a hockey background. He's a Wisconsin native, actually knows the Holtz brothers, and grew up training and working with Mitch and Cole there a little bit, so some good ties that way as well. But I played some junior hockey for a couple of years, played Division III hockey out at Bethel University in Minnesota, and then moved on and got into the strength and conditioning field. So a lot of good experience in some different areas. Spent a lot of time with the University of Wisconsin men's and women's hockey team, many of the other sports as well. I think all the sports we offer, he's had some experience running, so he's great for the whole department. All the sports we offer, he's got a really strong background, because there is a fair amount of difference between some sports. It can be a lot of different ways to attack that area. So he's done a really good job. So he's been in a few weeks now, and the guys, like you said, I think they all like him, but it's a new relationship. They have to get to know him and his style and his philosophies and build that trust, build that relationship. But he's all in, and like I said, a big hockey guy, and I think a real passion for what he does, but also the sport of hockey. So I think he's going to be a really good fit for us, and we've been very happy so far with the job he's done. And again, just a few weeks into it, but he'll do a real good job for us, and we're looking forward to continuing to get to know him and work with him, and our players building a strong relationship with him as well.
How much time at this time of year, when you're in the season and you're still in the first half of the season, how much time do you spend in the weight room in a given week and working on strength building? I thought that was something we normally really work on off season, once the season's over and through the summer.
Yeah, it's a great question. And, it is for sure at least 3 days a week. We have required 3 days a week. So Monday, Wednesday are our days. We're still lifting weights this time of year. Obviously, the length of that and the load of that is a little bit lighter than maybe preseason and, different phases on depending on where you're at in your schedule. And then Tuesday, he's got them for some conditioning and some mobility. And then Thursday, we make an optional day. But you'd be surprised the amount of guys that go in there. And that's more again, we're not lifting or conditioning that close to the games, but mobility, prehab, maybe working in an area that's a weakness to catch up. And then a lot of guys are you know, grabbing him on the side based on maybe a strength of your game or a weakness of your game. You know, if we want you playing a little faster, a little quicker, they're grabbing Taylor and doing some extra footwork or agility work or speed work. Somebody that's trying to bulk up a little bit or maintain weight, you know, so there's a lot of different ways beyond just that group setting. You know, guys go to him for dietary needs, rest recovery, you know, so yeah, really, really critical part of our staff. And again, really happy with the job he's doing.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that while we're on it. The nutrition end of things, the players nowadays, I can remember as recently as maybe 5-6 years ago when a guy like Steven Perfetto was here, he was really into making sure he ate properly and he got the right rest and he had special drinks that he would mix so that he'd have something during a game or a practice or after a game. Now a lot of guys are into this. It's a big thing. And I know they're looking on internet. They're trying to learn for themselves. They're relying on a strength coach like Taylor and Nate before him. This is a big thing now. This is what the pros are doing, and this is what the college players and the juniors are getting into as well.
Yeah, and, you know, and the majority of guys, especially guys, you know, you want to be a pro. You want to play at the highest level. You know, it takes everything. You know, you have to be all in all facets of the game. So if you're out, you know, not living right with your social habits or your dietary habits, it's going to be nearly impossible to make it. So they understand that, and they all dream of being able to play at the highest level possible. So I'd say 80-90% of your team are pretty attuned to what they're doing and their diet and things like that. And then you always have a handful of guys that don't quite buy in or have not been exposed to it as much. A lot of the kids these days too, they all have their advisors, and a lot of them will go to camps in the summertime with their different advisors. And so they'll have pro guys there with them, and they'll have nutritionists come in and lecture and speak. A lot of the junior teams now, if you're playing in one of the more established leagues, you know, they'll have guys around there doing it as well. So it has really changed in the last, you know, 8, 10, 12 years, something like that. It's such a science behind it. There's so much behind it there. And, you know, it's a big edge when you get guys doing it the right way. And then when your leadership believes in it, you know, that's really important that you're top guys, your leaders are doing things the right way, because that obviously steers your whole program on having those proper habits and recovery and nutrition and rest in all those areas. So it's a big part of it for sure.
Another question from the fans here, and this is kind of a double-sided sword here. The penalty kill seems to be allowing a goal a game in recent games. Is there a way to shore that up? And another question on the power play, it seems to be stagnant right now. Would more movement be helpful with the power play?
Yeah, both sides of those. You know, we got to be better in both. There's no question. The numbers are right there. They don't lie. You know, the PK has been probably a little bit more frustrating. Where, like I said, we've done some good things for the most part, and liked our structure on it, liked our spacing on it, you know, and then it just seems like, you know, the one this weekend, Saturday night, went in off our guy. It was a wide shot. I'm not sure how much differently we'd ask our players to play it beyond, you know, I guess finding a way to get out of that puck, or, you know, you know, a bit of a bad break there on that one. So that seems to have happened more than we'd like to see, you know, and again, I think some personnel as well. You'd have Diego out taking draws, starting us off, you know, usually going with the one face off, and so continuing to find the right guys who can go out and get it done. I think we're going to continue to work through some guys and look at that as well. But yeah, we have to improve. You can't give up one goal. One of our goals is winning special teams, and we have not done that very often, and that has a big result on wins and losses. And so I think you're seeing that impact our record in winning games and losing games. And then power play, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different things you look at power play. You know, personnel, we've tried to juggle here a little bit. You got to be a little bit careful at times. Sometimes, you know, if Max's line is out on the ice and then you have him on a different power play, it can affect things that way. So sometimes you try to be a little bit careful about maybe, you know, loading one up per se, because you might not have fresh bodies to go out and play. So personnel is one part of it. And then structurally, yeah, there's a lot of different options. You know, what we're trying to do, get some movement, generate more shots. You know, having some consistency to what we're doing, I think, is important. And, you know, we're trying to find that. But at this point, you know, it's getting back to basics. You know, we're not going to look for cute passes or backdoor tap-ins. You know, we've got to get pucks and bodies to the net and kind of flip this puck luck. Let it go off your butt. Let it go off your skate. Find a greasy little rebound. Bill was kind of saying off the air in between breaks there, you know, Diego was really good at that. When we needed a timely goal or a big goal, it wasn't always pretty, but he would get to the net front and he would find a way to just shovel one in and you know, get the game won or get you the lead, whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're looking for somebody to get that done. And we've got to do a better job of putting guys in the right positions to make that happen. So believe me, we're looking at it and we're trying to make those corrections.
Yeah, I think sometimes we forget how valuable Diego Cuglietta was. He scored 25 goals last year. Right now, Max Humitz is our most valuable forward at this point, I would say, and he's got 7 goals. So, you know, Diego was fantastic. He could get into the right spots. He would find that soft area around the net. And he could put the puck in. He would will it in sometimes, and he was a very good player in the dressing room, too. He would hold other players accountable, and you can't lose a guy like that and not feel that a little bit. Injuries, we've talked a little bit about it. I think the 3 that we've talked about are the 3 we've got, but we do have a question here. Do we have more injuries than Bodone and Gelsinger and Nordquist?
That's it. That's preventing guys from practicing. You know, certainly this time of year, you're getting into some nagging things and some wear and tear type stuff. But practice-wise, everybody else is going at this point and, you know, in a pretty good spot moving forward.
All right. We're going to take our last break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about NLIs and recruiting and some of the other questions the fans have. Want to just hit for a second before we leave on the players of the week. We usually do that. Trenton Bliss from Michigan Tech. Well, you knew he was going to be a player of the week. He was forward of the week with 3 goals, including a game winner on Saturday night for the Huskies. The defensive player of the week was Joel Rutkowski from Ferris State, who had 9 block shots in 2 games, including 7 on Friday night as they split with Bemidji State. He also had 2 assists and 3 shots on goal. Goaltender of the week, Eric Dopp from Bowling Green, 29 saves and a shutout on Saturday night at Anchorage. He also had a 3-1 win on Friday night. I thought Matt Jerusik was going to be the winner of that for sure, but he was the runner-up this week. And the rookie of the week was Jake Willits from Ferris State. He had 1 goal, his first collegiate goal, 3 shots on goal, and was a +1 versus Bemidji State. So we'll take a break. We'll be back with the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, back for the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night, live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Bill Crawford along with Damon Witten. We do not have a player with us here tonight, but we're going to talk about some players for the future perhaps here. A lot of questions about recruiting, how it's going, what are we doing? People know that the NLI signing period started, I believe, last Wednesday or Thursday. Have we signed any players yet, and do you expect to sign more in the near future here?
Yeah, you always do this to me. I forget. You got to give me a heads up so I can help our fans out and follow it more.
Hey, this is right here.
Yeah, no, I know. It's great. So much goes on this time of year too. We just had 2 prospects fly back home this afternoon, so we were busy. We had. Ethan has signed. So Ethan Langenager, our goaltender out of Salmon Arm in the BC League, was in for Friday's game. And then we had 2 guys follow him right up. So it's been a really busy weekend on top of the games, you know, hosting recruits. And that's a pretty time-intensive project, prospect or job, and a really enjoyable part of it to get to know these young men and hear their stories. So Ethan's done. We got a verbal from a visit just before Ethan again, about, I guess, 6-7 days ago. I don't think we've got his paperwork back yet, so I'll hold off on that. And then again, you know, these 2 guys who were just in, you know, we might know on one of them really quickly here, and the other one, you know, will be a little bit longer. He's got some process to work through there a little bit. So yeah, it's positive. It's going well. You know, I think we're getting pieces that are really important, you know, based on what we're losing and what we have to fulfill. And we've talked a lot about that, obviously, when you look at the right side of our D-core with Sockerman and Anderson moving on, you know, getting some right shot defensemen ideally, but a couple D lined up is really important. We've got a couple of younger D who have been verbally committed for a little bit. And, you know, we'll continue to be the verbal commitment there that are a year or 2 off down the road. So that's really been the main focus is filling in that back end. And again, one of the verbals that we just received 4 or 5 days ago will fill one of those slots. And we hope a guy who just flew home today will fill that other slot there. And if we get that done, that'll tighten up the back end there a little bit. And we'll continue to look at a couple forward options as well. So, don't anticipate a huge class coming in. We don't have huge losses. We've had some guys that have signed, I believe, in the past, but I got to double check and make sure I'm not using the wrong names or anything like that. So next week I will plan on trying to go over our list. And I think we hit it last week. Even the two players who were just in the last couple of days, talking to them, you get a lot of time with them, and it's really interesting to hear them talk about hockey, their teams that they're on right now, and style of play, and the what roommates are going through. Each guy, again, have two or three guys that have just decommitted, whether that was a player's decision or a school pushed them back again or pulled the offer. It's a crazy time in college hockey, and the new rules, I think, will slow this down a little bit over the next 2 to 3 years when those young verbal commitments have phased out. One of the guys who was in, his best friend, just got his offer pulled. And I think it's, a bad look for college hockey, the way this has gone. And, we're doing our best to avoid being on that side of it. We don't want to be overcommitted and pulling offers and pushing guys back and things like that. But there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of things going on. And so it's a really crazy time, but no, we like the pieces we've added and where we're at. I think a couple of really key additions that address some areas that we're seeing that we'd like to improve and be better at. So we're excited about it, but I'll talk fully about them when they're here in the fall and on campus and practicing, because again, in today's world, the things change really quick on the recruiting front.
Yeah, we've already lost one this year who was committed to us, actually signed a national letter of intent. He decommitted a few weeks ago. We talked about that on a previous show. I was impressed by Ethan Langenegger. I think he's a good kid, and he's got great statistics. I think he's 15-2 right now in Salmon Arm, and he's got a save percentage of about 92 and a really good goals against average. He's got to be a pretty good goaltender, either that or he's got a heck of a team in front of him.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think Salmon Arm's having a really strong year, and I don't think they would be quite where they're at without the way Ethan's played. So he's been a big part of it. Like you said, anytime you're 50-2, you're doing something really well. Two really good wins against Penticton, which is always one of the best, if not the best team out there. But we like him, a very mature young man, really astute student of the game. He knows who he is as a goaltender. He's confident in his abilities, always looking to learn and grow and get better. He's really impressive. I think he's a great match, a great fit for us. And we're excited to get him done. That was a long process for us to identify the goalies. You got to get that position right. And we spent many hours and in a lot of conversations, not only with student athletes, but goalie coaches. That was probably as thorough as a process as I've been through, trying to find and identify the right goaltender. And we feel like we really got it right with Ethan. So we're really excited. And his dad joined him on his trip. They're a Merritt family. The Cuglietta family a little bit there. So a nice little Kamloops connection there. Or I'm sorry, Kamloops, not Merritt. Diego played Merritt, but they're from Kamloops. So, there was a little bit of history there knowing Diego. And Diego and Lino helped us early in the process there, talking to the Langenegger family. So really excited about it, and but a lot of work to do still. We'll still be out, we'll still be working hard. We had a couple teams in our building this weekend. It was good to see some midget hockey and some good games this weekend. Got to see a lot of that as well. So we're working, and we'll continue to push on that as well.
Is it common for these kids to sign NLIs in a hurry? Can you put a time restriction on them that's like, hey, we want to hear from you in a day or 2 days or something, so that you can try to get them to make a decision? Because some of these guys are like stringing along a couple different schools here and trying to get sure. The best deal they can.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. And I think, different players, different student athletes have different scenarios. There's probably no two recruiting processes are identical. Everybody's a little bit unique and different, and different schools operate different ways in terms of some time frames or some deadlines. There are some schools out there that don't let you leave campus without a decision. So there are different ways to handle it, and for us, we want to make sure that a young man's coming here for the right reasons, that he's all in on being a Laker and wants to be part of our school on and off the ice. race. And so, you know, I'm not a huge fan of, you know, a 24-hour decision or make a decision before campus, because I think those, you know, you're not always getting the right fits for what you need and for what they expect as well. So, you know, we try to find that right balance of time frames and making sure, you know, they know what they're committing to and that they're going to stick with their commitment as well. I think when you rush those are a lot of the kids you see that don't end up at that same school.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a recruiting's a really tough battle. I know next year we're going to lose Max Humitz, so we'd love to recruit a goal scorer, but you're not going to recruit Max Humitz. You're going to have to build a Max Humitz. Somebody's going to have to grow into that position. You know, a kid like Ashton Calder, who's already a good player at this level.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. You know, you certainly need guys to, you know, that coaching, that development side is so important, that guys continue to develop as they're with you. They don't stagnate and, you know, progress throughout their time here. And I think you're right. There's not, you know, nobody out there is going to come in as a freshman and be like Max or Diego or any of those guys as a senior. That's a process. You know, you have to mature at this level and learn what it takes to be successful. So you're right. You know, that void, you know, that role would be filled internally with guys like Calder and Bedoin and, you know, guys throughout the lineup there, Pete Viet, you know, come back and be ready. So, we'll have a good mix. I think we'll have a real good, group to insert some new talent into and, you know, be able to fill some roles and help contribute.
Well, you got Alex Rohauser standing in front of you this weekend and Eric Dopp and a really good team down at Bowling Green. Matt Pocket will be there to do the play-by-play on both of those games this weekend. Good luck, Damon. And next week, we'll do another Laker Hockey Show right here.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Great job. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All righty. That's the Laker Hockey Show, another edition on ESPN 1400.